We're about to have a conversation about workplace mental health. Do you suffer from depression, anxiety, or stress? Because according to the latest research, a third of all Australian employees are affected by mental illness. Peter Slocum is a psychologist who's behind the latest study. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you for having me.
That's a really disturbing statistic, one in three. How did you come up with those figures?
It is. One of the things that is most important about what we've looked at is that a lot of people actually didn't know they were that they were in clinical ranges, that they had a diagnosable disorder. So we asked people just to participate in a program for people who are well also, not just necessarily people who were having difficulties. What we found then was even when we said to people, have you ever had an issue, they said no, but then when they filled out all of the criteria, a lot of them were in really severe ranges.
When you talk about severe ranges, can you quantify that or explain that to me? How severe?
Yeah. So on a sort of a medical grade assessment tool, for example, if you went to see a psychologist or a GP, these are people answering questions like always or almost always to I panic, I feel worthless, I wonder what life is all about. I can't get up the initiative to do anything. I've withdrawn from social events. I've lost my appetite. You know, just those sorts of things. A lot of worrying. We had 36% of people that met the criteria for depression or anxiety, but 13% of those met the criteria for both. So nearly a third of those actually met the criteria for both disorders, which is really concerning.
What about the sample size? Did the participants answer a questionnaire or were there other elements to the research?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we have the world's first biometric assessment of mental health. So we look at the autonomic nervous system. It's a little bit like historically we've measured mental health based on what people choose to tell us or tell themselves. What we look at now is effectively that fight or flight response that we used to get when people were, you know, prehistoric man was running from a wild boar, and people get anxious and heart palpitations and those sorts of things. We notice that they get that now, even just lying in bed at night trying to sleep. So it's a little bit like your car motor is left on, even though you might be inside and not using it. So we measure, it's a 15-minute profile, and people get back recommendations based on their particular profile, which is important to us because we didn't just want another data set. We actually wanted to change their mental health. And then they also wore a heart rate device, ECG grade heart rate device, and people who were moving into clinical ranges or poor mental health, what we find is that when all the external stresses of the day go and they feel like they're fast asleep, their body is still going a mile a minute.
When was the last time mental health was tracked like this? Can we quantify or have a look at how the numbers have changed?
Sure. So, I mean, there's never been such a quantifiable level before because, as I said, people have engaged in, they've effectively given, you know, between 1 and 5 nights of their wearing a device as well as 15 minutes of a survey of a profile. So this is the most comprehensive because we also measure things like personality variables that put people at risk of a mental health disorder so that we can improve their mental health before they've actually moved into, you know, disturbing ranges. But the Australian Bureau of Statistics officially does its statistics every 10 years, which is due to be redone again. There have been some similar, not similar, but other sort of studies that have had a bit of a snapshot of where people are at, such as the PwC and Beyond Blue Heads Up paper. And they are also tracking for certain professions. That was done in 2015. For certain professions, they're still kind of tracking at the high 20 to 25, you know, moving into the 30% in some professional groups.
When it comes to anxiety in the workplace, is there a gender difference?
There really is, and that was one of the things that really surprised me. So usually females are a lot higher on anxiety and depression. What we've found is that the gap on anxiety has stayed, so females are considerably more likely to experience an anxiety disorder than men, and we think we know more about why. But then with depression, for the first time ever, we found men equaling women.
I can't help but ask the why. How much do we know of the why? Firstly, let's start with the anxiety part for women. You say we think we know why. Why do women face
this?
Great
question. And I think a lot of listeners, and certainly I've spent a lot of time looking, you know, you look at the newspaper every day, or your hairdresser starts small talk, and everyone knows people that have disorders. The question is, why are they increasing so much? And more to the point, what can we do about it? With females, the anxiety, part of what we measured was emotional intelligence, and we found that females are higher on other awareness, which is not new research really. We know that the high empathy has a price to it, right? We don't switch off. We worry about things. Has the person in the corner had enough to eat? Did that person say enough in the meeting? You know, yeah. All of those sorts of things. So we worry about others, and and we're also very self-aware and accountable. Females are also twice as likely to be perfectionistic, and half as likely, again, than men to be self-critical. So we've effectively got self-awareness. Am I okay? Am I doing the right thing? Am I good enough? Is everyone else happy with me, and are they okay, and how can I help? And then self-criticism, and then I've got to get everything 150% right. Males, on the other hand, if we look at what leads to their mental health, there's less emotional expression, there's less ability to seek social support when they're struggling, and effectively, I mean, it's a rather unpalatable metaphor, but men are okay until they're not okay. They're okay until they're steering absolutely perfectly straight until they crash into the wall, really, in terms of their behaviours. And what we notice is that the severe autonomic responses, the biometric, the physiological data that we collected, men were twice as high as women in the severe ranges. So they look okay, their coping's okay, they just try to problem solve, they block other people out, and then they hit the wall.
Given this is about workers, what is the role here, in your own reflection, of managers or the organisations? What can they do to try and shift some of these statistics?
Yeah, look, I feel really strongly about that, because quite often when people find out that we're doing this work, the first thing they say is, even I spoke to a congressman in the US the other night about the work that we're doing here in Australia, and he said, look, workplaces are causing this, and I don't agree. I don't think they're causing it, because statistically we know two things. We know that the first depressive episode for 75% of people happens before the age of 25, and that's quite often. They weren't in their workplaces at the age of 25. So we know that they had predisposing kind of factors that were heading them down this path. The other thing that we know is that stress does make mental, if you've got a predisposition, if you've got a tendency to develop anxiety or depression, stress does make it worse, and obviously work makes people stressful. Makes people feel stressed.
That's right.
One of the things that we noticed I would say, is that workplaces didn't cause it, and I don't think there's any finger pointing certainly coming from me, but workplaces are in a better position than anyone else in society. I think better than the government, I think better than a whole lot of different avenues and pathways people take in terms of GPs and those sorts of things. Workplaces are a better place to solve the mental health crisis in Australia than any other body, because they already have a significant problem to solve. There are $12 billion lost productivity. Someone with severe depression is going to cost an employer about 225 hours of productivity a year traditionally, and you start timesing that by, you know, 100,000 people in a workforce, and you've literally, in one of our client organisations, you've got over 1 million hours of lost productivity to mental health. They've already got a problem. They've got to spend on it. They're faster to adopt evidence-based technology than I think government and really highly regulated environments. So they can see it and move and fix it with the technology that we've now been able to develop faster than anyone else. So I think I'm really optimistic about it, but we need organisations to say, I didn't cause it, but I can certainly fix it.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Peter Slocombe is a psychologist. And just a reminder, if you feel that you need to speak to someone, there's Lifeline Australia, which is 13 1114. This is RN Drive.